The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is the condemnation spoken of in Romans 3:8 eternal condemnation? And in Revelation 2, when it speaks of the Nicolaitans, their doctrine and their deeds, does it imply anything about free grace theology? Welcome to Grace in Focus. Glad you're with us today as we present this radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Look us up on our website to know more about us. Our website is faithalone.org. There we have some free ebooks and other resources for you, as well as hundreds of articles we've written on almost every Bible and free grace topic. Please also look under events to find if a regional conference of ours is coming near you. That's faithalone.org. And now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you, David. Wonderful start.
I thought I'd be real eloquent there, you know. How am I doing?
So far, you're great.
The first question is from Brad. He refers to Romans chapter 3, verse 8, and asks the question, is the condemnation referred to in Romans 3, 8 eternal condemnation? Kind of a yes or no answer.
Okay. So he actually asked for yes or no, right?
He says, I will settle for a yes or no answer. I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay. So the question is the condemnation in Romans 3:8 eternal condemnation in the lake of fire?
Right.
No. Now, let me read Romans 3:7-8. For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. It's interesting that the word translated condemnation here need not be translated as condemnation. In fact, Zane Hodges, in his commentary on Romans, suggests that it should be translated as judgment. Here's his translation of Romans 3:7-8. For if God's truth excels to his glory by means of my lie, why am I still judged as a sinner? And why not, as we are slandered and some claim we say, let us do wicked things that good things may happen? The judgment passed on such people is deserved. So he translates the word here, which is krima in Greek, as judgment. He doesn't translate it as condemnation.
Right.
He says, Paul simply states that those who make such claims deserve the judgment passed on them. In Paul's view, such people are already under sentence of judgment because of the manifest untruth of such claims. Now, Hodges doesn't specifically say whether the judgment here is eternal judgment, eternal condemnation, or judgment in this life. But I think the simple answer is it's talking about judgment here and now. Mm-hmm. But of course, if the people making this claim, this false statement, are unbelievers, then ultimately, if they die in that state, they will experience eternal condemnation.
Right.
But the issue is not that a believer is incapable of making such a slanderous statement. A believer could fall away and make a statement like this. Now, in this particular case, my guess is the people Paul's talking about are unbelievers who are making this claim. But he's not talking about the lake of fire here. He's talking about judgment right now, and if they are unbelievers, which will ultimately open up into eternal condemnation.
Right.
Like, for example, in John 3:18, the one who does not believe is condemned already.
Right.
In other words, the unbeliever is in a state
already
of judgment, and they're going to stay in that state of judgment unless they come to faith in Christ.
Right.
So in answer to his question, I guess it was Brad's question.
Brad. Right? Mm-hmm.
So I would say no, the condemnation here isn't condemnation, it's judgment, and it's judgment in this life. But even if you call it condemnation, you know, a person can be condemned to death, right? A person can be condemned to 10 years in prison or to various other sentences.
Or suffering some other kind of bad thing in this life. It
right.
could be.
So whatever, even if you translate it condemnation, the point is there's no suggestion here that Paul's trying to deal with eternal condemnation
right.
in this particular subsection in Romans 1. Well, Romans 2 up to 3:21, he's leading up to the justification section, mm-hmm. 3:21 to 4:24. And the lead-up section is dealing with people who have various claims that they don't need to believe in Jesus to have everlasting life.
Right.
And this is just a little subsection of that. So very good. I think you've got a second question, right?
Yes, I do. It's a little more involved, but it's an interesting question. It's from Jacob.
Yaakov.
Kind of Yaakov.
Yaakov?
No, that's Hebrew with a Texas accent, okay? When I was in Israel, I tried to speak it, and it just was a disaster. I could read some of the signs, you know, because I majored in
Tell
Hebrew.
Tell them about the time you were in Greece, and somebody was calling for a taxi,
and you
had to interpret for the policeman.
I was in downtown Athens, and I needed to catch a bus to go to meet a friend in some suburb of Athens. And so I was asking policemen that was standing there, which bus do I take to get to this suburb? And as I was talking to the policeman, this lady walks up and she says, "Where can I find a taxi?" And the policeman goes, "Taxi," and has this real puzzled look on his face. And I said, because I knew the word was taxi. So she was putting the emphasis on the first syllable, but in Greek, it's taxi, the emphasis on the second. And he goes, "Oh, okay, it's
taxi.
Over there. It's a, go over there."
There are a couple of Grace Evangelical Society regional conferences coming up soon. First, August 16th through 18th at Bismarck, North Dakota, Eternal Treasures, a study on rewards for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Also, Dallas-Fort Worth, October 25th and 26th in East Dallas at Ridge Point Fellowship. There is more information and a brochure on each of these at our website, faithalone.org/events. So please come yourself or invite others who are close by. Find out more, faithalone.org/events.
Tell them about the time you wanted to buy a thimble.
Oh, my mom loved to collect thimbles, and I thought it would be cool to go to the marketplace in Athens and get a thimble. You know, "Mom, this is from Athens, Greece."
So did you want to use your Greek or something?
You can't assume people know English there, especially these small shop owners.
Right.
So it probably took me 30 minutes to an hour to figure out how to do this. To look up the word thimble in my Greek dictionary, that was an adventure just all by itself.
It's actually a finger guard, right?
Yeah, I went into the shop and I said "ekete," which means do you have?
Yeah,
"ekete dactyli phylaki."
Dactyli finger.
Well, dactyli means finger, and phylaki means guard. So, guess what a thimble is? Finger guard.
Dactyli phylaki.
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 You pronounce upsilon epsilon in modern Greek.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it's. I learned a lot when I was in Athens, I'll tell you that.
All right, very good. So now our second question is a strange one. It's about the Nicolaitans. Isn't that a show on for kids on TV or something?
I think it's a network, isn't it?
What's
Nickelodeon?
Oh, Nickelodeon. But this isn't the Nickelodeons?
I don't see kids in this passage at all.
Oh, okay. It's Revelation 2:6 and Revelation 2:15, right?
Correct. Yeah, it mentioned in that particular letter to the seven churches, in this particular letter, the Nicolaitans are mentioned.
Now, this letter is in 2:15, right? Not 2:6. Well, go ahead and read the question, and I'll look it up.
Yeah, he talks about his pastor being anti-free grace, or he bashes free grace. And one of the reasons he does this, and one of the support things that he uses to support his position, is the treatment of the Nicolaitans in Revelation 2, verse 6 and verse 15. He says the reason is to show difference between, quote, true Christians and, quote, said faith, SAID-faith.
Or professing Christians.
Professing Christians, yeah. He said the Nicolaitans abused God's grace, and that proved that they were true believers.
Okay, so let me comment on this slanderous statement, going back to Romans 3:8. What's interesting is if you look up the word Nicolaitan in your concordance, you'll find it only occurs twice. In the letter to the Ephesians in Revelation 2:6, the first of the seven letters, and then in the letter to those in Pergamos in Revelation 2:15, in neither place does it explain what it is. In 2:6 it says, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Then verse 15 says, "Thus you also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Well, we talk about the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, both of which God hates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine, but what is that? This pastor assumes that it's licentiousness, a libertarian view. Do whatever you want. God doesn't care. You
right.
can live, or some people call it antinomian, against the law. Just
right.
do whatever you want. Well, that is one guess as to what this is. We don't know for sure. Some people think that it's actually the same thing as the verses which precede, which deal with the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam was promoting licentiousness and trying to get Israel to stumble into immorality. And so some people say maybe the Nicolaitans were the same thing, or the same basic thing.
The Nicolaitans were promoting the worship of Balaam. And therefore, by doing that, they support, hey, live
now,
however way you want to.
When you say the worship of Balaam, Balaam was this Old Testament prophet guy.
Uh-huh.
Or are you talking about Baal or Baal? Or
well, it's Balaam.
Do some people say Balaam is related to Baal?
No, not necessarily, but it's just they worship because they go along with what they think he taught. That, to me, that's a form of worship. If you fall,
they're exalting him.
Yeah, that what he says is truth.
Yeah. Now, by the way, my middle name is Nicholas, but it's not Nicolaitan.
So we can't call you Nicolaitan.
No, and this guy can't say, well, you know, free grace people are antinomian because Bob's middle name is Nicholas.
That's right.
Unrelated words.
That just would be an outrage to do something like that.
So we shouldn't build a lot of doctrine about whatever the Nicolaitans are. And you can look them up in commentaries
sure.
and commentators guess as to what this is, but mm-hmm. it is a guess. But it was probably some type of antinomian heresy. We don't teach that. We teach that by faith in Christ, we're born again, and that highly motivates us to love God and to live for God because there's accountability now and there will be accountability at the judgment seat.
Well, we are called, once we are believers, to order our lives around who He is, His character.
That's right.
Not just, like you say, antinomian, just kind of figure it out yourself, you know. God didn't do that.
We're the light bearers. We're
right.
to let our light shine before men.
That's right.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. Remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, is faith a verb or a noun? We hope you'll join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.